How we going, mates? Welcome back to another episode of The Top Step. My name is Ryan Roland Smith, about to be joined by Grant Balfour and our special guest. I love this guy. I've been following him a long time. Hilarious. It is the one and only batting stance guy. Now, if you don't know who he is, if you're from Australia or if you're a fringe baseball fan, because I guarantee if you're a baseball fan, you know exactly who this guy is. Go follow him on social media. Go check it out. He's on YouTube. He's on Instagram, Twitter, everything else. But he does these uncanny impressions with the mannerisms and everything else. Plus, he's kind of got some good little comedian flow going on too. But he does these uncanny impressions of all your favorite players. It is hilarious. The way they hit. Basically their batting stance. That's exactly what it is. But we're going to have some fun with him. I can't wait to chat to him about everything, how he got into this. First time going into a clubhouse. David Letterman. This guy's been on David Letterman. I want to know all about that. Before we get into it, you know what to do. Go subscribe if you haven't. If you're a brand new listener, make sure you get subscribed and share this with your friends. The more people who listen, the more we can keep doing this and giving you these great interviews and chats and everything else. And we love doing this. So hopefully you can help us out, support us, and go leave a review too. I keep getting told, hey, tell your listeners to go leave good reviews, or just go click the 5 stars on your Apple or on your Spotify, whatever it is, but just go give us 5 stars or give us 1 star, whatever you want to do. But leave us a nice little review. We see all of them and we love it. If you want to reach out, go to thetopstep.com. You can reach out to me personally or Grant. All right, enough of that. Let's get right into it. We have a great episode. The music is bumping me off right now. All right, let's get into it. Please welcome the batting stance guy, Grant Balfour, right here on The Top Step.
No matter what happens, Ryan Roland Smith has something to tell his grandkids right here. First appearance of the big leagues.
Facing Hall of Famer.
Especially if he strikes them out.
Here comes the 1-2 pitch to Junior now. The breaking ball, he struck him out. Yeah, that will be a story for the rest of his life as he strikes out Ken Griffey Jr. And the inning is over. But what an inning it was. As six.
Victor Martinez and Grant Balfour join, and benches have cleared. My goodness. This is Grant Balfour being Grant Balfour. Yeah. He is, as you mentioned, Jim, he's amped up. He talks a lot. It's not personalized, but he talks a lot. In fact, he has the demeanor of a guy that wants to fight you.
You'll never say that I'm not killing them. Killing them.
Doing well, mate. How about yourself?
Yeah, you got some skiing in on the weekend.
Yeah, you're up the snowy, aren't you? You're up the snowy up there.
Up at Mount Kosciuszko.
Yeah, mate. I see you out there getting your hacks in. You watch any of the footy, mate, or what?
No, I do. I haven't. Here's the thing with me, man. It's like every offseason when it kicks off, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get into the NFL. Obviously, the Seahawks are a huge deal up here. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to invest. I start Google searching like different things about the team. And then I even text a buddy of mine who played for the Seahawks. He's now on the radio. Hey, man, like, yeah, help me out. Whatever. And just nothing. I get to that point. I'm just not in it.
Can't get into it, really.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm so busy. I haven't got time for that. But
You want to enjoy your Sunday on the slopes or doing something else, mate.
That's true. You know, yeah. I've got two kids running around. Yeah, go hang out.
Well, I had to bring it up. You know, obviously down here, being a Bucks fan and whatnot, Brady just announcing his retirement, like 22 years out. They said he didn't even mention the Patriots whatsoever. He was there for 20 years, didn't give him a mention.
Dead set.
Yeah, left on bad terms. And didn't even give him a mention, just talked all about the Bucks and how he had a great time here and whatnot, Super Bowl here. And the other six in New England, he just snubbed them.
How do you feel, though, if you're like one of his teammates, though? You know, who were, you're in the trenches with him all those years. I mean, you're like, hey.
Sheds with New England.
It's like, mate.
Yeah, apparently, he just didn't live on great terms with Belichick, you know? Yeah, Big Belly. And apparently, he stayed there on some shorter term deals from what I read. And Belichick never really praised him. Like,
you know what we need to do? Let's just bring Tommy up. Bring him onto the show, mate.
Mate, he's got his own podcast.
Does he?
Yeah, he might want to have us on there. We'll do a swap, mate. Maybe we'll figure something out. I'll probably run into him down here.
I've heard the experts. Yeah, you might run into him at the shops. Go grab a coffee, mate. Go get a latte. Go grab a couple of schooners, mate. He's got some free time now.
Yeah, yeah, no. You'd probably be keen to knock the froth off one after all those years of, you know, being on a strict diet.
He just blows up. He's just 300 pounds. As the experts have told me in the past, cross-pollination, we can do his podcast. We can do ours. All right, enough messing around here. We do have a fun episode this week. We have got the one and only batting stance guy. Now, for all our Australian listeners, if you don't know who he is, if you're outside of the baseball circle, if you're in the baseball circle, you should know exactly who this guy is. Go follow him on social media. It is awesome. You'll go down that rabbit hole of all his impersonations. Basically, this guy gets it on point when it comes to impersonating batting stances. And it's not just the swing or the way they set up. It's all the other things too. So I can't wait to talk to him. Before we get into that, and before we promote Tom Brady's episode coming up in a couple of weeks, we have to do word of the day. All right. Now, I've already given a hint to it. I've already said it. Yeah. The word of the day, Grant, is one of my favorites. Still use it. Dead set.
Nah, mate. Dead set. Seriously? Honestly, mate? Dead set, eh?
Dead set. Give it to us. Here, I'll say something to you. I'll be like, yeah, mate, Tom Brady gave the Patriots a flick.
Dead set.
So you can use it that way, or you can say, mate, he was dead set kidding. This guy is dead set kidding. Or you could say,
you're just super serious. When you say it, you're like, mate, I'm serious. Honestly, I'm dead set, mate. Serious. I'm real serious about this. Dead set. This happened. Just making sure, you know, you're clarifying it or whatever, you know, that honestly happened. Dead set.
I feel like too, when the old man said dead set, he's like, oh no, like if you're running around, it's like, I am dead set serious. I'm going to get back inside the house.
Exactly. You know, you're in trouble.
I still use it a lot today, but dead set, it's basically, you know, what's the equivalent?
For real. For real, mate.
No, for real. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for real. That works, yeah. Yeah, it's basically, it's firmly decided or determined, resolved, dead set. All right, so I'm excited for the batting stance guy to come on. I'm not quite sure what we refer to him as. We say, hey, batting stance, when you were doing this, or do we call him by his real name?
Mate, I guess it's personal preference, mate. I mean, obviously, throughout social media, he's known as the batting stance guy, or born as Gar Ryan S. So.
It's Gar Ryan S. Ryan S.
Right, sorry, Gar Ryan S. But looking forward to talking to him for sure. I mean, he's comical kind of bloke and good fun. So it's gonna be a good one. Dead set blinder.
Yeah, it's gonna be a dead set blinder. There you go. Awesome. All right. Well, he's waiting for us. So let's bring him in. I don't want to keep him in the waiting room too long. He has been in the Letterman green room too. So I don't know how that compares to the Aussie, the top step.
I suppose you could maybe say it's on par, but pretty good reviews on our green room, mate. They love their Fosters and their cheese and cabin Aussie. So it's going to be hard to beat.
Okay. All right. Enough messing around. He's waiting. Let's bring him in. You ready? Gar, welcome, buddy. Now, I don't know what to call you here because we were talking about this before we came on. Do we go by batting stance guy? Do we just call you Gar? Because Gar, I've got to say, man, the accent is a tough one for both Grant and I with that name of yours, by the way.
You can do whatever you want. Batting stance guy, Gar, dude. A lot of people mix it up and they're like, especially announcers, be like, oh, hey, so we got a batting practice, man. You know, they'll get like the bones of it or like the person guy.
You must get some butchering going on with your name or with what you do and everything else, especially back in the day. Like the thing is too, and we're talking about this before you came on, is you blew up kind of before social media was around, but it wasn't like this viral thing where you just did something in the backyard, then boom, 2 million people. You know, it took some effort back in the day to do what you were doing.
So I have a brother that's 8 years younger than me, and he looks more like Grant, so he's like a functioning member of society where he'd walk by and girls would be like, oh my gosh. Not really, like I look like at best handsome Al-Qaeda, like it hasn't been as smooth a road, but he's way younger and won a Tony on Broadway and it, like very kind of successful with like washboard abs, so the gap in his group of friends and my group of friends is such that in, let's see, this was 08. So when a buddy recorded me and then I thought he was just going to send it like literally by like VHS or something to his buddies in Boston, he put it on YouTube, of which I didn't even know what it was. And so then Bill Simmons ran it on the front page, you know, on ESPN. I think his page was called ESPN2, like back in the day. And then
on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, on the World Wide Web, on the interwebs. He ran it, and then it got a bunch of comments, but still it was only like, let's say, I don't know, 20,000 people or 30,000 people. Then it ran on the front page of YouTube a week later.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it went crazy. So my brother's friends, they kind of know what's going on. And so yeah. I got a bunch of texts from his friends being like, dude, you're featured, or dude, it's viral. And I was like, I don't know what. I'm like literally walking my daughter to school. These people are like cool with no kids. I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, what is featured? Like, what's like the front page YouTube? I was like, YouTube has a front page. Like, I had no idea. But he was like, dude, you don't know what this means. I'm like, you're right. I don't. I have no idea.
Yeah. But my point is with that too. And when I say effort, you actually have some talent. I feel like in this day and age, right? No offense to the younger generation, yeah. But there's some shit out there that I see that goes just, I look at it five times. So I'm adding five more clicks or looks to whatever the hell I'm watching. It doesn't take any talent. You know what I mean? And that's the point I'm trying to make, dude. Like that's what I mean by the effort. So I know you've been asked this 1 million times in person on every podcast or anything else. Where did all this start? Where you started impersonating dudes' batting stances and everything else?
To your credit, nobody's ever asked me in a thick Australian accent. So this is like the first time it's ever been asked, mate, by a real person. So grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and my dad was pretty into baseball, so it was on. You know, so I guess, I don't know if he would have been more into football, I don't know, maybe I would have been more into football, but we had this rules in our house. So my parents were pretty strict and I was the oldest of four. So there was always like some kid was taking a nap or my mom hated television and thought like our brains were all going to turn to mush. So we had a 3x5 card up over the phone where each of my siblings, we had to record any television we watched. So if we watched like Different Strokes or Silver Spoons or Happy Days, like Gar, half hour. Bevan, wow, hour. Yeah, so like there was no like, Wheel of Fortune was never just on. And we had 7 hours a week. So, you know.
So you basically had a TV budget of X amount of hours.
For me, 1984, you know, it's like I would almost map it out. I was going to watch or at least record the NBC Saturday game of the week. So Vince Scully and Joe Garagiola, and that's how you'd see like Ryan Sandberg, or that's how you'd see Willie McGee, or what, you know, you, it was like, and then This Week in Baseball would play either before or after. Then there might be like the Wonder Years. There'd be like two shows I would watch, and then it was it. So the TV wasn't.
Then you just got to jump on your iPad, right?
Exactly. I would play Candy Crush just all day long. Yeah. So this is like a long-winded way to answer your question. So I would collect baseball cards, and then wasn't really allowed to watch TV. And then I would take the baseball cards, go in the living room. Now here's the part where you're like, okay, this guy's psycho. I would go lay out the cards, and then like we're on the floor. Okay, he'd be like the leadoff hitter. So it almost like create an all-star team out of like commons baseball cards, and then would basically almost like kind of play a pretend game of like, all right, well, if this, you know, if Len Sakata was batting, he'd probably bat like this. And then in a lot of cases, I didn't even know if they were righty or lefty unless I looked at the card, but I would see, you know, Yvonne Calderon's like chest hair out. And so at that point I was like, oh, okay, this guy's probably tough guy, or this guy's probably weird, or this guy. And so I would almost pick up, and then when we would play stickball out in front, when the like neighbors would wake up and we would play stickball, I would pretend to be the players. But I don't know if Australia is the same as Northern California, but people really aren't that into sports. So it wasn't like when I would do Howard Johnson, the neighbors were like, whoa, that looks like Howard Johnson. I mean, they knew like Canseco and like Jack Clark and these local guys. But it wasn't until years later, which I didn't even know this was a skill. I went to college in upstate New York, Syracuse, and it was like ravenous baseball fans. So it, whatever, all sports fans. So then, but then when I would do an imitation, people were like, holy crap, that really looks like Lenny Dykstra. Can you do Wally Backman? And I was like, wait, what? So I didn't even know, honestly, I didn't know this was a thing until college on the East Coast, where I guess because it's like snowing, people like watch sports, and they, you know, because California is like, who wants to watch sport? They're like out like rollerblading or playing volleyball. I would have been better like imitating numbers from Miss Saigon than like batting chances. He wanted an audience.
I will say this, man. I lived in LA for 5 years, like towards the end of my career. I was living there in the off season. So like when the playoffs would start, I didn't feel like, and this was, I'm not just putting California all under, because I've been to Northern California, dude, and the Giants are nothing against Grant playing with the A's, man, but it's just Giants territory. And they know their guys, especially, you know, when they had that streak where they're in the World Series. You mentioned growing up in Australia. I do want to ask you this, because just like that, just similar to that for me and Grant, this is pre-YouTube, pre-having access to seeing your favorite players. For me, I had videotapes of the 93 World Series, and I'd watch those things over and over and over. John Olerud was my guy, you know, like with the hands like this and, you know, like the real sort of, you know, kind of a boring stance, basically, boring way to hit.
Yeah.
But that, and then at 3 o'clock in the morning, there was a game of the week on ESPN.
Yeah.
And you had to set the VCR to record. Then you'd watch it over breakfast, and my sisters would get mad because they wanted to watch their rubbish, you know, and whatever. Yeah. But I would sit there in the living room and just mimic these dudes. I remember, dude, I need to ask you this, man, because I don't know how hardcore you're into as a player. I would get on the weekend, you'd go play on the weekend, and mind you, in Australia, baseball is really not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
But I'd get there and I'd try and hit like Olerud, or I'd try and hit like my favorite player or some dude I watched, you know, on game of the week. And the coach straight away is like, what are you hitting like that for? Yeah. And I'm like, well, because that's what John Olerud, that's my favorite player. That's how I hit. Hey, when you're making $1 million, you can do that. Right now, you're going to hit like this and straight up and down. And Grant, I don't know if it was like that for you too, man. Like, you know.
Oh, mate, I was just happy if I hit the ball. That's just happy if I make contact.
You used to be able to hit though, right?
Nah, not the best. I mean, I was a catcher. I grew up a catcher. I played for all the state teams in Australia as a catcher. As far as, you know, talking about being able to hit and being an elite hitter that's going to get to the big leagues, I jumped on the mound, mate, made the switch.
But was that for you when you were a kid? Were you hardcore into baseball and love to play, and were you mimicking these guys when you were a kid?
Yeah, I was, but I didn't know. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. This isn't like false, whatever, humility or whatever. Like,
right.
I didn't know I was doing it accurately. And I certainly didn't know what the players would end up responding to the most, which was the facial expressions and the run. So when I'm in a clubhouse, I noticed that it didn't matter that Kevin Youkilis did this. If I was like Gary Sheffield not blinking, the players would laugh. Or if I was like Edgar Martinez running with like my arms close to my butt, the players would react big. So back then, I didn't know I was sitting on anything. You know, when you watch, like, did you watch Saturday Night Live? Was that even on in Australia? Or was there like the equivalent?
I honestly kind of knew what it was. Okay. But I was a big Rage Against the Machine fan. So the only time I remember that it came on and they actually got booted off or something happened. So I recorded it. And that's the only time I ever watched it as a kid. Okay. It wasn't that big of a deal in Australia.
But, right.
Yeah. So, we're watching Hey Hey, It's Saturday, mate.
Okay. So sure there was, the equivalent. So to put it in your terms, I felt like I could imitate Peter Garrett's mannerisms from Midnight Oil, but I couldn't, I didn't sound like him. So, with stances, like when I would imitate my aunt at Thanksgiving, I would notice that my sisters or my brother would be like, whoa, that really like her, that your shoulder, like you, that really looks like her, even though my voices aren't good, you know, but guess what? Who knows what Tommy Herr sounds like, you know? Just because he's fidgeting, like luckily I'm not doing like announcers.
So do you keep it just for all the fans out there? Do you keep it as hitters? I mean, I know you've done so many hitters. Have you done any pitching? Thought about doing any pitches or done any pitches or what?
So if you're asking if I've ever in a rage flexed, ripped my shirt off, and then had like neck veins popping out while yelling at clouds like you, Grant? No.
All right.
Fair enough. Also, I want some kid's dream to come true. So I've lived every bucket list item. I mean, like you can't imagine like what, like a dork like me that loves baseball, like no kidding. So this time last week, I was at Kansas City Royals fantasy camp. And so for an hour and a half, like George Brett is calling out names. So back to that 93 World Series. So one of the ones that killed was I explained that Jim Eisenreich dresses like all of our dads. And then the way that his like nose would twitch, but his legs wouldn't. Right. And then, right. you know, so it was unbelievable. Like to get to interact with people. It's like, if there's some kid in, you know, Albuquerque, New Mexico that can imitate pitchers.
So I bring it up because I know Craig Kimbrell's a bit of a, he likes to do it. Good. Yeah. Have you heard of that?
Well, I mean, he gets random kids in the crowd to do it the way that he
did a lot of the Atlanta Braves guys, you know, like the old school, like John Smoltz and whatnot, and Maddox and whatnot. Maddox. So he's done a few of those and sort of shared those on, you know, like MLB Network and whatnot before.
That's fun. Yeah. What's hard about throwing is to look organic throwing as a lefty. If you're a righty is real tricky.
You know, swinging though, man. So that's just it. You mentioned swinging though. You do a good job of going back and forth. I got to say, like that is tough to do as well. You mentioned, hey, before you mentioned going into the clubhouse, right? And this is something, because I've seen all the clips, you know, like you actually went into the Mariners spring training and it was a big hit. I remember guys are talking about that forever afterwards. But the first time, and I don't even know when the first time was, the first time you walked into a clubhouse or the first time you said, some PR director or whoever it was said, hey, man, you know, this superstar wants to see you or they want you to come in. Why don't you come in the clubhouse? You must have been shitting yourself.
100%. So if I can now look back, I think that being mid-30s, married with two kids, I don't know if it's the same if I'm like, single 19 and like I just saw it as every day this has happened. I just saw it as like an incredible fun story for a barbecue, not like this is like everyone come listen to my TED talk. It was just like I can't believe how lucky this is. And you know what I mean, it's like any girl that thinks I'm, it doesn't matter, like I'm now married 26 years, you know, so it's like it was just kind of awesome. If somebody next week is like, hey, we got a suite at the Super Bowl, it's all paid for, you'd be like, what? Okay, wow. Like, cool. It was, I just couldn't believe it that I was meeting these people. And even then, perfect example is like the Rays. So I'm with the Rays and then there's all like, Evan Longoria is an all-star and just hit, you know, did a bunch of stuff in the playoffs. And then each guy is really important. But then what would happen is like, you know, George Hendricks sitting over on the, and like, that's a guy I collected his baseball card. Like, I can't, first of all, I've never heard him interviewed. Like, wow. So I would get on the field and like, what you think is like, oh my gosh, you're meeting Albert Pujols, or oh my gosh, you're meeting Mike Trout, or oh my gosh, you're meeting Ryan Howard or Torrey Tulowitzki, all these like super important people. But then it would be like Mike Aldretti or like Dave McKay, or be like, honestly, a guy that's like, you shouldn't even know who I am. But because I collected baseball cards, and you were on them. Yeah. It's like my mind was blown with like Hal McRae. Like, whoa, Hal McRae. He's like, you don't know me. Yeah. Like, I was like, Charlize Theron walks in a room and you're like, wow. But then the drummer from your favorite band, and you're like, shouldn't I be more impressed with Charlize? I can't believe my drummer from my favorite band is here. Like, I couldn't have predicted that I would be nerd out about the like 64-year-old assistant hitting coach with a huge gut that like literally his WAR is like minus. No way.
I mean, you obviously know the game, you know the players, you've got a lot of history from, like you said, just not watching TV, sitting there, you know, studying baseball cards. I got to ask you, do you collect baseball cards? Are you still collect cards? I know it's a huge thing.
Yeah, I do. But now that I have like nephews that are younger, I find myself collecting them and then like sending them. So less like, oh, I'm collecting them and here's a Lou Whitaker rookie. I'm mostly like, I love the way they look. Every once in a while, I'll do like a spoof video where it's like the photographer recreating baseball cards just as an excuse to like break out wigs and mustaches. And so there'll be like kind of spoofs I'll do around baseball cards. They don't have like a real like collection. I was in one of those, the Allen and Ginter set, you know, how Topps So I was one of the cards in 2014 watch somebody like organically open a pack and have me in it was just like,
That's insane.
That's funny.
But I got to ask that. Have you ever bombed? Have you ever walked in? Cause it's like you're doing a stand up basically especially when you're in a clubhouse, man, because here's the thing, you walk into a clubhouse and you're not okay. So I mentioned the spring training one, but it's kind of awkward because you might have two or three guys who really want to spend the 45 minutes to watch 30 minutes to watch you do your thing. Some guys don't. It's kind of Have you ever, there must have been a time where you bombed or you walked in, did your thing, and it's like, oh, you got a couple, you know, courtesy laughs and out. Ever happened, or you just killed every time?
So the answer is yeah. and luckily, so I'm good friends just because our daughters are friends and live in the same neighborhoods. Do you know the Sklar brothers? Like Cheap Seats, and they're stand-up comedians, identical twins, are awesome. They fill in for Jim Rome a lot. I don't know what their Aussie ties are, but as I would do these different kind of weird settings, because it wasn't always in the middle of the, you know, the stretching circle in the outfield, or it would be on the field, or a lot of times early on, there was a hasty, not with the Rays, but like there was a hurry up and do this before Mike Socha comes out, or hurry up and do this before Joe Torre or Buck Showalter, hurry up. So there was almost like a hurry up and do it and get out of here because you were going to get in trouble. And like Fox Sports would be like,
yeah,
we don't want to get thrown out because the coach is in a bad mood. So, and then what would happen is like a charity event would happen. So there was like the, probably the biggest I bombed was a few years ago. So the Yankees had me do their team dinner before opening day, Jeter's last year. And it killed, like just murdered, like Brian Cashman calling out Reggie was there. It slayed and it was awesome. And then Carlos Beltran was there and he was like punching Jeter and it was great. And then Carlos Beltran did a charity event where he had me. So it was a lot of the same guys. And then the setting was like, all the players were over at the bar. The microphone was way back. Everyone was at tables. There was like noise and a band. And it was like, there was like no synergy to the room. And then there was like a single A all-star game in Florida where it was like, there's a band, it's outdoors, it's windy, the players are talking, and it was like, oh, this is set up so poorly. So it's there definitely been like bomb, but I haven't bombed in the middle of like, you know, a lion in the Coliseum. Like, and if I would like that Royals thing, that was going to be 15 minutes. Right. And it ended up going an hour and 10 because they kept, like, there was no reason to stop. The campers were calling stuff out. The players were all laughing. So I was like, all right, but I'd be like, hey, three more and let's get at, you know, like I would wrap it up if it was.
So to let everybody know that's listening, you know, they're all getting to know you and get to know and probably already do know you. Any more upcoming events in the future here or something that we can look out for?
Yeah, so what's been really fun on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook is I've been doing a player with the number of whatever day the lockout is. So, so starting with, you know, lockout day one. And so today is lockout day. Well, today that we're recording this is lockout day 62. So luckily for me, Hal Morris, for half of his first year with the Yankees, wore number 62. Just like Alex Verdugo, the first couple of seasons with the Dodgers, wore 61. And so we're getting into like pitcher land. Past 40, honestly.
Yeah.
40 has been a real effort. Like,
yeah, you got to scrape for some spring training numbers.
Or thank the Lord that like every Cuban player was like, I don't care. Give me 79. Give me 88. Right. Give me. So there's like Eloy Jimenez, like, you know, Jose Abreu, Puig. It's great. Like every guy doesn't care. Like, give me 90. Give me 106.
Because you got Luke Voit here, number 59. I'm looking at this. And I was thinking that too, because I was glancing through this the last couple of days, thinking, oh, okay, yeah, what happens when he gets up to those deep numbers? I mean,
I'm willing to go with an actual like on day 57, I did an actual player that was 57, but then also I added Robin Ventura because he had a 57 game hitting streak or 58 game hitting streak in college. So I wouldn't be opposed to if somebody did something great or in 1973 of doing that. But so far we've mostly done numbers.
You talked about too, you know, you're doing this when you're 35 years old, two kids. So you kind of had that like nothing to lose. Like there wasn't this thing. And this is not part of the problem now, because again, social media is a frigging jungle. I still don't quite understand what I'm doing right, wrong. Everyone's like, oh, you got to do this and do that if you want. Like clueless, even with this show, man, like I put stuff out on social. I'm like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Back to that. You mentioned if you're a, you know, 19, 20, 20 years old, something like that. And there's something to gain. Right. But I find it funny, man. Like with all that being said, all of a sudden there had to come a point where you, in the early days, you mentioned you're featured on YouTube, like that day one, boom, everything starts going, getting big. and then that turns into now all of a sudden you have to sort of follow it up. And then all of a sudden you get onto Letterman, right? So now all of a sudden this turns into, I'm not just messing around doing this. There must have been this person coming in, this person, oh, hey, I want to be a part of it. I can do this for you, that for you. There must have been that time period, right, where it started to turn into like a business as opposed to you just putting clips on YouTube.
So what really helped at that time was that my daughters, like when this really hit, so like Letterman was 09. So at that point, my daughters are 8 and 3. And so we were just getting into the zone where I was coaching their like youth soccer. So I had to, so, you know, there was like a moment where it's like, well, hey, what if you become like the San Diego Chicken and go to all these different locations, do minor league part and do 250 nights on the road? For me, wanting to have a healthy marriage, be present with my kids, this just wasn't an option. It wasn't an option to just like do the thing where you just like go on the road. But then what would happen is like, you know, the Rays would be like, we want you to be the entertainment at Fan Fest in, and it like killed three birds with one stone. It'd be a great story. I'd interact with some players. It'd be fun. It would be me on the field. MLB Network was like, hey, anytime you're on the field, if you want to shoot a spoof, we'll air it on, you know. So it was like, so I did, like when I went to that, I literally dressed up in a bow tie as Ken Rosenthal and did a report of how I was scared of heights from the catwalk. So I would be like falling down panting, talking about the catwalk. Yeah, so if it killed a bunch of, you know, a bunch of stones, that would be how I would inform like where I would go. And if it, let's say it would pay a bunch, then my wife even was like, yeah, have your assistant coach fill in that kit, you know, like, I don't know. It was easier to just kind of weigh whether totally going on the road or just kind of experiencing if it was going to make a good story, if I was going to interact with players. And honestly, Ryan, I just treated it like it was like what it should have done, which is like gone away in 1 month. Like I just thought it was going to go away in 1 month. So it was like, okay, I'll do this stuff and then go back to normal life.
Yeah, okay.
There's so many nerds like me that love and are super nostalgic over baseball. And there's never cussing. There's no, like, I'm not like, hey, look, I'm taking a steroid. There's no like controversy, you know. It's like, at worst, I'm a dork. All right. Like that's already established. So it was just, I don't know, each time it's been really fun and interesting. And in a lot of ways, you guys know from being in locker rooms, like I'm like the sparklets water guy. So if I come in and Derek Jeter's like offended or thinks I'm uncool, it's like, I don't know what, it doesn't really, nobody's going to lose their job, you know, in the locker room. So it's almost like Prince Fielder even pulled me aside one time and was like, he's really good at doing imitations. But once he started getting paid like, you know, $30 million a year, him making fun of the last guy on the bench who's about to get cut started to feel kind of rude. So he would even chill out from doing it because it was sort of like a jerk move to like make fun of the guy.
Hold on. So you're saying Prince Fielder would do imitations.
Yeah. So like growing up on, like, he's good at them. So like Fox Sports, even in Milwaukee, knew it. And so when they had me out to the day, they pulled Prince in and it was like, all right, now we both want you to do Jason Kendall. And then his run was hysterical. Like, so his Jason Kendall was like flapping. Well, I didn't like watch him running. I would just watch the little, like the overdoing, the weird like uppercut. And then non-home runs.
But you're saying, so just back to that, he felt like he was getting to the point where he was making fun of people getting offended or something like that, you're saying?
Yeah, there's like a status where I walk into the locker room and if I make fun of a player, like what's really at stake other than maybe a bunch of people laughing what'll happen a lot is that there's like a 50-50 self-awareness level. So like I say, veins popping out, yelling, chest probably a little too unbuttoned, and Grant's like, okay, yeah, I get now that that's me. But literally half the players are like, who's imitating? Like they don't like, I'll walk around with that same neck muscle like this, and then everyone's laughing and Josh Willingham's like, that's not me, I don't do that. But it's like, no, but you you know what I mean? Like, there's even
a little controversy there.
Like Jeter. So when I did,
but at the end of the day, everybody knows why you're there, and everyone should be able to sit there and have a laugh. If they can't have a laugh, and you can't, if you got to take it that seriously, then I think you might have to pack up your gear out of your locker and go home, because, you know, you got to have thick skin in baseball regardless, right? You know, we're around guys all the time. We're always joking, having a good time and whatnot. So, I mean, a novelty and a bit of fun. Watch this guy come in. Hey, if he makes a little fun of me, man, have a good laugh at it and move on, you know? It's good humor.
Grant, there is those guys, man. And I'm talking the guy making, yeah, you know, 20 mil, the guy making minimum salary. There is those handful of players that, right, they'll get offended in 2 seconds, or they'll get upset, or they'll get bitter about something. And that's something you're walking into that environment. Gary, you have no idea who those guys are.
No, and I don't know the popularity. So, like, you guys know, but like that Yankees event, perfect. Like, not one person asked for A-Rod. So, like, celebrity wise, well, he's the biggest name in it, but like, the players all, I couldn't believe it. Right when I got, CC stands up and he's like, give me Francisco Cervelli. And because he was like the most popular guy in the room, I was like, wait, how, that's not on a stat sheet. Like, what do you mean? Why is the backup? Yeah. Why is that getting the biggest laugh? And so I would prep as if, oh, they're going to love this guy. And inevitably it's like, nope, everyone's asking for Ryan Ludwig. You know, Wainwright's bringing everybody out to show. I'm like, Ludwig, what? He's like number. And so it was fun. Back to my high school career, I was the last guy on the bench, and we were a good team, but I was like the last guy on the bench. So when I go to the Rays, to the A's, I'm doing crazy research on the last five guys. Because I know
it's flattering too. Like, I mean, if I'm that player, that it's nice. It's like, damn, he knows who I am. He's paid that much attention to me.
Rajay Davis once told me he was terrified someone was going to call his name because he figured I didn't know who he was.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like that. Ben Francisco was like, I just hope no one calls me. Because, like, we know Eddie Murray, we know Fred Lynn, we know, but it's like, don't call me because they're not going to know. So, like, in the middle of the stretching circle, I would always make sure I knew the last guy. So, if Chad Helton was like, how about Seth Smith? And I'd be like, who doesn't know Ole Miss quarterbacks? And they're like, whoa. And he was like, hey, how did you know who I am?
So how do you keep up? I mean, you know, this, the game's evolving, teams are changing. I mean, you have to be on top of your game to be always just evolving in the game as the game evolves. And you got it, like you said, you're watching that last part of the lineup. So
you can't half-ass it either. You know, you can't just do a half-ass. Like,
In saying that, in all honesty, has someone said to you, hey, do such and such, and you're like, oh, shit, I really don't know, but I'm just going to wing it.
Right. So Grant, I'll let you in on, so this just happened. So Kansas City Royals fantasy camp. So there's those like stars from really before you guys were watching, like, you know, the George Brett, but like John Wathan, John Mayberry, Amos Otis, you know, like late
70s. I remember the Wathan family, they're a big baseball family. I remember coaches and the son played and coach. I remember that name.
So like John Wathan, I go up there when they asked for, George Brett asked for Wathan. I say, all right, well, it's all elbow and mouth. So his mouth, like the way he talks is like this. And then his elbow is kind of stuck out. And so then it's an exaggeration, the way he runs and the way. So he gets up and leaves. The crowd is going crazy. George Brett's falling over. So, but guess what? There's a million playoff games online. So here's where you guys come in. So I looked at the list of who's going to be there. And it was this brutal group of all your friends, all these guys that were like allergic to the playoffs because they played on the 03 to 09 Royals. You know what I'm saying? So it's so I got to find. So my research, I don't do anything on Amos Otis. I've seen a million games of his, but I was looking for John Buck highlights, Mark Tehan, Joe Randa. Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was like, one guy, Les Norman, he had one career extra base hit. And I was like trying to find. And so to watch the like one time he wipes his brow and the one time he puffs his chest out and the one time he goes like David DeJesus. I mean, it was like there's no playoff footage. So the effort normally is made if you didn't make the playoffs. So like the Blue Jays in the era that you play, you know what I mean? Like Lyle Overbay probably played the most games with no playoffs. And it's like he better have been involved in a no hitter because otherwise And by the way, when I was, so in 08, 09, MLB put the kibosh on YouTube. So you literally needed like some guy in the stands recording to actually see anything. Like it wasn't on. Now it's more on now than it was, but I either knew it or didn't. And so that's why I wasn't really worried about somebody coming up and doing it better, because I was like, they've got to be like a mental patient if they watch more, like took it in more.
Some guy rolls into the back, he's just out of the smoke. He's like, no, he did this. Like, damn, they're like, where'd you get this footage from?
And even when the people like, I can do it better, like I've realized now they're generally not doing like the facial expressions or the bravado, or I'm turning up the bravado or the effeminity of the player.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then the play, you know, so with Derek Jeter, you're not calling for time with your hand, you're calling it with your wrist, you know, because
that's really good. You were invited on to David Letterman. How did that call come? I mean, not everyone, you know, gets that phone call every day. Hey, you mind coming on David Letterman? So they've either won the World Series, they've done something huge. I mean, they've obviously made it in their own environment, whatever it is they've done. It's everybody wants to hear about it. Tell us the story about how that went down and that experience.
So the craziest part is, so again, I have two sisters and then one brother, and my brother had been on Broadway and his show Hair had just won a Tony. So when I get the call from the talent scout for Letterman saying like, hey, if we flew you out to New York around the All-Star break of 2009, would that work? And I was like, 100% yes.
How early in advance was this? Like, I mean, were they planning this months in advance?
No, no, this is like 2 weeks before. Not far in advance.
And hey, guy, do you have, are they calling you directly, like your phone, or do you have like at this point, because you're an absolute... I mean, were they calling your manager or your agent?
So a month or two before, the same person at Jimmy Kimmel had reached out and said, hey, we're kicking around ideas. So my brain had expanded to where, whoa, this might end up not on like a local sports.
This is going national.
Yeah.
This is big.
Get ready for this. And so then when the Letterman, and I'd grown up with such a huge fan, and it was, I never even dreamed of it, you know, like it was like the top for me. Yeah. And so when that person reached out, I just kind of lost all. I wasn't like, oh, let me go back to Kimmel and see what, you know, I was like, whoa, what? So when he said, hey, we're thinking of All-Star break, would you be able to come out here? And I was like, yes. There was no like almost run it by someone. So then we got on the phone. He's like, all right, we're thinking about Monday, July, like 13th or 12th of, you know, of 2009. Is that okay? Would that work? If we flew you out the day before, we'll put you up in a hotel. And I was like, yes, 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 yes. So at that point, at best, I thought, well, maybe I'll be, you know, I'll settle an argument between Paul Schaefer, and, you know, we're like, hey, let's see what, and I walk on and walk off. So that's all I was thinking. So then, all right, well, we're going to fly you out. Don't tell anyone you're going to be on. And I don't know what the reason is, but I was like, all right. So I won't tell anyone. So definitely schedule wise, I was like to my wife, hey, I think this might happen. So I'm not going to be here Monday. What was so wild is that, so my brother said, hey, do you want to hang out Monday? So I was like, well, how did he, cause he lives in New York and I'm in LA. So I was like, well, how does he know I'm going to be in New? So I text him back. I was like, yeah, I mean, maybe midday, but it doesn't tape till later. And he's like, well, no, cause I'll fly in at this time. I was like, what are you talking about? And again, I hadn't told anyone. So I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, we're on the Tonight Show on Monday. And I was like, I'm on the Late Show. So my brother and I were on the Late Show and the Tonight Show the same night, the same time. Yes.
Wow.
So we crossed paths in the air. He was in Hair and there was the whole group, and it was the 9 months Conan had the Tonight Show. So he flies out and is on. So my parents set up two old school VCRs, because it was like the San Francisco Chronicle ran an article in 09 being like, this is why God invented TiVo. There's a family whose two kids are on the Tonight Show and the Late Show That's the same insane. Time tonight. But they they couldn't figure out a way.
That's insane.
So that was the backstory. So then my brother-in-law texted me and said, hey, why are you on my TV? And I was like, what are you? And I texted him back. I was like, what are you talking about? And he took a screenshot and it was like Monday on the Letterman Show. It was like Monday, Jonah Hill, Gar Reiness, and Kelly Clarkson. So I was like, so then I call back the producer and I was like, hey, wait, if my name's on, first of all, why'd you write Gar Reiness? That's not gonna drown one extra eyeball. Like, at least if you put bodies, there's a chance that like four dorks are gonna be like, oh cool, I'll tune in.
Just on that, I'm laughing because anytime like it says, like sometimes I go over it like on MLB Network or something, it says Ryan Nolan Smith, they need to put something because everyone's like, who the fuck is
exactly the same thing. I was like, wait, that is like marketing wise, that's terrible. Like that in my mind. Right. But honestly, at that point, I was like, wait a minute. He's like, okay, well, if it says it, now you can start telling people. Because I was thinking they were gonna like bump me, or certainly, honestly, both of you guys, I'm not lying. When I called back and I was like, why is my name on there? Am I a guest? He's like, yeah. I was like, what? So I didn't know I was a guest. I just thought I was going to be like, you know,
just a little side gig
or like the pet animals or like a juggling
cycle.
No, I wasn't sure I was going to talk. You know what I mean? So he's like, yeah.
Like you're saying you had no idea. Like, in other words, you had no idea that you were going to sit in the seat right next to David Letterman. He was going to talk. Hey, Gar, welcome to New York. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Jeez,
what projects you've been working on? It was like, I don't know. Trying to get 8-year-olds to like kick the ball toward the goal where the goalie's not. I mean, like, I couldn't believe it. So
you're a starstruck for sure.
Yeah.
So you show up in New York and then what?
I was like, what do you want me to wear? Like, would you want me to wear? And he's like, just the thing you wear in the backyard. I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to be the first person in late night talk show history to wear shorts that's like not drunk? You know what I mean? Like, how I'm going to wear on Letterman? I feel like only females show their knees. Yeah. So then, Grant, here's where it gets crazier. Okay. The New York Times had run an article on me in March of that year. So it had gathered a kind of a different audience, maybe more like the person running ESPN or the person, you know, the 58-year-old who like doesn't watch YouTube video. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ushered in kind of a whole new world. So after that, there were different people that reached out to me that were kind of odd. And one of them was Simon & Schuster. So basically this like literary agency that wanted a fun, less than $20, fun book that's not just an ex-athlete or a pundit. Okay. It was like, hey, we have, if Jon Stewart wrote a book about baseball, we would want it like this. So timing-wise, it was like, all right, well, I'm going to be back here. So before going to Letterman, I met and got a book deal and like signed the papers like as I was walking towards. So that was the kind of thing.
Oh, man.
Coming out of the woodworks, the guy that originally threw on the camera, who has been like my partner throughout with it, and is always like the guy laughing in the background, he's super smart. So when the guy was like, you should write a book, I was like, what are you talking about? So I ran it. I was like, Caleb, this guy wants to write a book. And he's like, yes. And I was like, okay, great. Let's like, I would love to like take all my friends to get like their bucket lists checked off. So whenever I go on the field or anyway, I always take a friend to experience it just so they're like, well, or if they're a huge Red Sox fan, we're doing a thing with the Red Sox. Here, you're flying into Boston. We're going to go together.
Experience. Yeah.
So that happened. And then, Letterman, the whole thing was surreal being there and then being present. I mean, we were put in the wrong green room. So I ate a bunch of Kelly Clarkson's sandwiches by mistake. And then we go to my green room, which is like cookies and fruit, no sandwiches. So it's like, and then I remember going to the bathroom because I was just so nervous, but like going to the bathroom and thinking like, Tom Cruise is probably taking a dump right here.
I think the same stuff, man. It's so funny. Oh man. I love the fact. So they had separate green rooms, basically. Like you were cordoned off. Like it's like you and Kelly.
What did you think? I got to just cut you just real quick. But what did you think of our green room with the cabanossi and the cheese and everything, compared to Letterman? How was our green room?
I had two Fosters right before it started. Even though not one person's ever had it in Australia. Everyone in California thinks that's what we have. Yeah.
I'm glad you liked it, mate. I'm glad you liked it.
It's real top stuff.
But now,
I want to finish this Letterman story, dude, because we have walk out.
Okay.
You have to wave to everyone. I want to get to that.
Yeah. So luckily, my wife and then Caleb, the buddy, like we flew them out. So they were also in the green room for a little bit before going and sitting in the crowd. And then, me and my brother are both on at the same time. And my sisters were both watching my daughters at home, watching on TV, just shaking their head like, we suck. Because like their two brothers like ascended to this spot. So everything you've heard about Letterman is true. It was freezing. I mean, it was like, it felt like it was 45 degrees in that studio. Right. It's like a weird kind of vibe. And they run through it without him. So the first time I saw him was walking out on stage. So the producer kind of runs through it. Like, we're going to have you do this. And there was a lot of, the producer was like, okay, we're going to have you come out there and sit down. And then if he likes how it's going, then you're going to go over here. And if you know, we'll put a home plate around here. And then, he's older. So I was like, the only thing I said was like, hey, just so you know, like, I was born in 73. I'm not actually 73. So if you start going like, hey, Joe Pepitone, or, you know, like the one arm guy from the 40s, I'm like, can you get it to like about 1980? Is there a way? I mean, that's 40 years. Can you give it like some, have it be a player I saw.
Okay, so was it scripted? Yeah. I mean, because he had a list of players, right? You have any? Oh my God,
man. No. Even like the producer was like, "All right, the Dwight Evans or what?" So it was like a bunch. It was not, which is fine. The best advice I got from the director was he sat down. He's like, "Listen, Dave wants you to succeed," and he misread me. Was like, "Oh, I'm a New Yorker and I want to mix it up with people." Like, Dave wants you to succeed. If you come up there and try to one-up him or top him, he'll eviscerate you. Right. If you basically listen to what he says, answer it, he'll take you to a great place. But if you but if you come in there with like, I'm jamming these four jokes in there regardless, he'll see it and by the way, that's why we love him. I mean, he's listening.
So you felt like he was, but you felt like he was really listening. Like, if you said something, like there was a real conversation, it wasn't this feeling like, because dude, first of all, I'd be super intimidated. I shut down. I tighten up with that kind of stuff. I'm sitting there, I'm looking at that studio audience and they're probably, how I am. I'm not saying for you, I'm saying for me. Yeah. Right.
So I get that out there and sit with them. And then, you know, right off the bat, I kind of see what's happening. I can't focus on anyone in the crowd. I remember thinking like, in order to not be nervous, I mean, I'm sure in like 12 step, it's why it's like one, you know, just for today or like one day at a time. So I was like, I can't think of all the millions of people out there. I can't even think of, oh, I'm going to make the crowd laugh. I was like, I'm going to be 100% focused on Dave, what he says. I'm going to basically have a conversation with him. And outside of somebody being like, your zipper's down. Like, I was going to tune out everyone else. And I was like, my guess is if Dave has a good time, the crowd will be like, I don't even know baseball. But oh my gosh, that's hilarious. You know? So it was like, if he thinks I'm an idiot, it's going to come off as an idiot. So I was like, I'll just completely like, I'll try as hard as I can without like urinating in my shorts, you know, to just have a conversation with just him. So that's what I did. So I walked out there and early on, he's like, I think he said like, how old are you? And I thought like, I may have told a joke and I thought, you know what? I was like, I think I'm whatever I was, 36 or 37. You know, I was like, I'm 36. And he's like, even better. So already he's like punchline that what a loser. But I was like, I'm just going to like, and then ideally I would have grown out of it by now. So it was like conversation. And then the producer back in the day had said, hey, if he likes how it's going, he'll hand you this bat and then you'll go over there and you'll do like one or two.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So then what happens is we have a conversation, it's going on. And then he hands me the bat. So I was like, okay, great. And I'm not paying attention to like, oh, I got to be out of here in 2 minutes. So I go over and do it. And then again, I'm not trying to focus on the crowd. I'm just focusing on him. And he ends up rattling off 10 names. And I could see the producers like, wrap it up, like we gotta go, like you're ending it. And he blew through it. And I was like, we're playing with house money now. If he's having a good time, keeps going,
the best feeling, man.
And I don't have to like jam in jokes. I can just kind of like, all right, I'll go. I don't even know if they're still taping, you know, I'm just like,
because the thing is, man, you could walk into that, you're obviously nervous. I mean, I'd be a nervous wreck, but in my mind, like even on the plane ride over. Did they fly first class, by the way, or in a car?
No, I don't think so. I think it was.
We're going to get you reimbursed, mate. Well, we'll make a few phone calls and have you reimbursed.
Oh, yeah. No, they, first class ticket. What's so funny about what pays versus what you, friends of yours think pay? So I remember like when I would start doing like Dodger pregame shows and Angels pregame show, and like kid drop off the next day, someone would have seen it like locally and been like, "Is it like crazy how much they pay?" And I was like, "They don't even like validate your parking. Like they, if I wanted to stay, I would have had to buy a ticket." Like it, and then the opposite. There's stuff that pays way more than it should, but like it's so it's totally incongruent to where to what you people think.
Yeah, for sure. No, I get you. I just think like I could just imagine you sitting in there and you have this sort of, you've been talking about cramming four jokes in. You would have had like a couple zingers that you're like, if I get this, I'm going to make him laugh. And you play it through your mind how it's going to go. And then you get out there and it completely goes, you know, totally different way.
Well, and he's a comedic genius. So like the way he would, like, I didn't come with this, but he even said like, "Hey, where, like, what do you want to have happen with this bat? Or like, what's your goal?" And I remember saying, "You know, I'd love for this bat to get in the Hall of Fame and for me to get an invite to Kent Herbeck's 50th birthday." And like, he thought it was hilarious, because, but I didn't come out there with it. I was just like, what would be cool? What would be like the next thing? And I was trying to just be super present with him and then drown out the other, the crowd.
It's so hard to do though, man. And I'm not trying to kiss your ass here, but to do that in that moment, to have, you know, the awareness and presence enough. If he throws something at you like that, and you're able to come back and not be tight and try and smash it, but you come back with it with a witty response or whatever, and then he gets like, it's just, it's so much harder than people think. Not that I've ever been on freaking Letterman, I'm saying, like, when you're in the moment and you sort of, you know, you're rehearsing your head with how you think it's going to go, doesn't go that way, and then freeze up. It happens to me all the freaking time.
Some of it was a little dumb on my part though, because afterwards, we were walking to dinner and people were like, "I can't believe how well that went." I was like, "Well, I just tried not to think of, like, you know, the 35,000 people watching." And they're like, "You know, it's like 3 million, right?" The numbers off by like 100 times. I didn't think of those, you know, 47 people at home. They're like, "There was more than that watching."
Did they give you a copy of the VHS, mate, or what?
Yeah, they did. In fact, they, his parting gift at the end was a bucket of pine tar.
Oh, wow.
I got it right here. I still have it.
So that's on the mantelpiece, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was a bucket of pine tar.
I mean, he could have got some, like, David Letterman issued red wine or some poster. Yeah. Dude, that is perfect. Yeah. Look at that. Like, you're not going to get that anywhere else, you know?
No.
You can't get that. 1 gallon of it, too. That'll last you. Last year? A gallon of pine tar.
Well, now you know how TV works. It was bird seeds, and then they emptied it and put this on the front, so there's nothing in it.
Unbelievable. Even,
that's awesome. Yeah. By the way, your parting gift for the top step is one of those little those koalas that stick on the pencils.
I was
giving you two.
It was that or a Dave Nelson bobblehead. I would have taken.
Yeah, either. There you go. If we had them, that would be pretty classic.
Can we put you on the spot?
Sure.
Can you do a Dave Nelson imitation?
Ooh,
of course.
That's pretty on the spot.
It's very like body-ish. It would be like if Adam Dunn would have been more comfortable in his skin. You know, with Nelson, I couldn't believe he was the first Australian baseball player, right? And
No.
There were a bunch.
I'm just pulling up. We had a dude back in the 1800s.
Okay.
Yeah. Dude, I'm going to get murdered for this for Aussie listeners.
There was a bloke that no one ever remembers. Luckily, he's probably passed away by now, so he's not offended.
He's not listening. But, he doesn't have Spotify.
But we also, you had Shipley there, Craig Shipley. And Dave Nelson right around the same era.
Graham Lloyd, around the same era. But Craig Shipley was kind of that first, like, mainstay pioneer. Yeah, there's a bunch of other guys, too, in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, Graham Lloyd,
But Dave Nelson was really the face of baseball. And then Graham Lloyd came in, was in those World Series with the Yankees, big lefty against Ryan Klesko, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, those kind of moments, yeah.
Well, so Nelson is a perfect example. Like, guys like Dave Nelson, Jeff Cirillo, there were these like really good players, but they didn't get in the postseason. So they're not as well known as even like okay players that played in the postseason. It's like they're legends forever. That 93 World Series video, like, I've watched it a bunch of times, you know what I mean? Yeah. Without a dog in the fight. And so there'd be like some pinch runner that I would know, or like,
Yeah, you like know, Ed Sprague or something like that.
Yeah, like Darnell Coles was on that team. Right, Ed Sprague hit that big homer in 92.
All right, so Joe Quinn, 1884.
Joe Quinn, that's it.
First Australian ever. So if you could do an impression of Joe Quinn, dude, I'm telling you right now, mate. It's
not- Okay, wait. I'm gonna recall a la Letterman. I'm gonna recall back to do I ever get requests for people where I don't know? Joe Madden was like, let me see a Tom Foley. You know what I'm saying? Like
Tom Foley, yeah.
So I have to think to like
such a buzzkill. It just crushes the vibe.
Rando backup. So don't tell anyone. Nobody's listening to this, right? So my go-to comedy in that case is if they're known enough well that they are a pro that's being called out, but I don't know who they are, what they've got. Like when I do the son of a like taken third strike bummer, it kills because they're like, so when I did that, everyone laughed and Tom Foley was like, I hit 300. And he was like offended. Like go-to.
Well, I know Tom personally from the race. So yeah. Next time I run into him, I'm going to be like strike three.
So I would do like if I didn't know it, or like Manny Ramirez one time asked me for a Will Omen. And I was like, I'm almost positive he's a relief pitcher.
He is.
Yeah, I was like, maybe he's a backup catcher. So I was like, hey, Manny, will you show me a Will Omen? And then I'll be like, do Mark Loretta. So I'm like, all right. So then I'll kind of pimp it.
So I mean, we've got all these names, you know. I mean, there's so many guys. Any favorites, you know, like old era, new era, any favorites that you just love doing that people just die laughing about?
Yeah,
I mean, we all know, like, Craig Council, Euclid, right, in my era, Coco Crisp with the neck coming across. Yeah. Like, is this someone you just love doing?
Yeah. By the way, it's so funny. So one of the things, I'm on Cameo. And so for listeners at home, like, you can order a shout out. Most of them are like, you know, $500 or $1,000. So the jokers that are like 15 to 30 bucks, like me. So
we're right there with you, mate.
I'm $39. So I feel like I'm out of that joker range.
Well, I dropped mine to 35 undercut Rhino.
I was getting a lot at 15. And then my wife was like, you're doing too many of them. Why don't you do it to 25? Crickets. No, I'm kidding. So I just got one for Craig Council. So, dude, he and Damian Miller, I think, were a part of this La Crosse Lager, some baseball team up there. And so they said, like, hey, can you make this video in an hour, in a day, because we're going to honor them at this event. So I literally did a cameo to like honor Craig Council. I like doing Council. What my favorite is, you have your greatest hits. And so, like you're saying, like Council, Julio Franco, there's like the greatest hits. But then when someone yells out like a B-side from your first album and you're like, whoa, like, can we go to dinner? Like, this is like, so I remember back to Adam Dunn. I remember a bunch of players were throwing out requests and he said, hey, I want to see Moises Alou and Hunter Pence. And it was like, okay, so you like fine wine, you know, like, smart. And then it was like the random people that will be like, I want to see a Gary Matthews Sr. and Ben Ogilvy. And I'm like, okay, so you understand fine art, you know, like that's a song we've never even released.
Yeah, right.
I love it when somebody asks for like a Ben Ogilvy, where like you hike your pants up to right here. So now, just because I've been asked, you know, a million times for new clothes. I mean, obviously, like when a player calls it out, it's so fun. I think what I prefer most now is to get a request of a player I've never gotten. So like when I was with the Giants circle, for whatever reason, they called out Benji Molina, and then I did the swing and then ran as if like my boots were bouncing.
Yeah. It's a shake.
Aaron, like people like fell over, like the stretching, everyone just like fell down. Same with so that one day the Yankees had me out. It was like, it was all funny, like it was supposed to be. The Francisco Cervelli, like when they asked for it, and so I was like, so they would react to that. But then it was like, finally, after everyone had gone, Ichiro, like he was on that team. So after we went all the way around, then Brian Cashman was like, what about Andy Pettit? and Andy, because Andy and Reggie were the only two non-Yankee that were there that day. And so it was like, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, so Andy Pettit, like in the World Series or with the Astros, and I did this hit. And then again, almost a little Benji Molina-ish, it was like, the way he ran, killed. Like it, like anything that like Hunter Pence running to where his hands stay below his knees. When Hunter Pence runs, it's like, his hands are like so low. That's more fun.
So but funny,
never, one person will never ask for Andy Pettit again. You know, so Euclid, the Manny, the.
But like these people say, you know, that there's some people claim, oh, I can do it better. I can do it better. This guy, you've got so much. You're so detailed, like you said, mannerisms, the swings, the whole nine, facial expressions. And then you just go so deep. I just can't imagine someone being able to go so deep into baseball history, knowing the game inside and out. I mean, I'm sitting here, played 20 years of pro ball, and I'm just thinking, grew up in Australia, not knowing the game half as much as probably what you do. And it's just amazing to see the names that you spit out and the names that I've learned along the way playing the game. Like, it's pretty impressive, mate. So I commend you for that and where you're at today.
That's awesome. Man, it's been a lot of fun. I was thinking about this, like, you know, last year I was like, oh, I need to hit you up and see if you can come on the show. But I was like, I've been a massive fan for a long time. So this has been a blast. I'm glad you got your shout out for Cameo too. You need to raise it up to $25 because here's the thing. Actually, no, don't, because the US dollar compared to the Australian, you're going to have all these requests from Australia now. You understand? So that's going to be a little expensive. The Australian dollar is a little weaker than the US dollar. So keep it at 15 or 20, whatever you got that. And then you can raise it up later on. But listen, guy, man, this has been a blast. I appreciate your time, man. This has been
I got one more podcast story and Rays story. So I go and do a thing with the Rays, and I had listened to a podcast on the flight there, and Evan Longoria was on the podcast talking about something. And so when I meet him, we're talking and we're on the dugout. And then he says, and then I say, hey, I just listened to the podcast you were on. It was great. And he's like, oh, thanks a lot. And then he walks over to me and he's like, hey, can I ask you a personal question? I said, yeah. He's like, what is a podcast? I don't understand.
Oh my God.
He didn't know. It was like, he did an interview, but it was like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Is it like on TV or does it get recorded or? This was probably, probably 11 or 10 or I don't know. It was like,
was it some kid in his basement like pumping out, and Evan Longoria somehow got roped into that? Or was ESPN one, like a big one?
It was like The Athletic before it existed.
Gotcha.
Somebody had him on.
And it's kind of like the top step, basically.
It was like a non-Australian top step.
Yeah, so hey, now you're in our head. We're going to get Evan Longoria on this show at some point because Grant played with him. He's going to be sitting there 20 minutes in going, Am I on TV now? Yeah. What is this? Like,
what is this? No rules.
Kind of like Kramer, when Kramer had the fake set. Remember, he took the stuff from The Tonight Show and he had the fake set. And he had the wildlife dude come in. He's like, yeah, where are the cameras? That's going to be it. That's basically going to be it. Man, I'm not going to ask him on. There's no way I'm asking him on this podcast. So listen, man. Oh, here we go. Let's have a look.
So the book deal became a thing. So it is out there on eBay and Amazon if you want to find it.
I asked you before you came on. I was like, hey, is there anything
let's get that front page. Just give it a plug. Let's get that front page on there.
I saw Brett Boone in there.
Batting Stance Guy, I Love Letter to Baseball. It's the 50 greatest stances of my lifetime. In picture form. There's the
Aaron Rowan, of course.
There's the Aaron Rowan.
Man,
a lot about getting rejected by girls in junior high, not just there's the chart of Cal Ripken's batting stances and then what his batting average was per stance. Non-technical and made up.
That is awesome. We did want to ask you, real quick, because I don't want to keep you too long here. There was a thing that was brought up about if you could perfect any big league swing, well, then you could hit at in the big leagues. And I believe it was Harold Reynolds who's like, well, look at the batting stance guy. This is on, and not knocking you, but he's not in the big leagues, and he's got these swings down pat.
that's good.
Can you hit, man? Like, if you took BP, could you take some deep or what?
Yeah,
have you got the chance to take BP? That's the next step.
Like out of the park, I've probably hit two balls like physically out of the park. I'm for like rec softball, I'm
crushing.
Probably worse than you, but better than your kid brother, you know. But like, what I did know is that like playing real baseball varsity, like going up, my righty swing is very like disciplined. So it's almost easier in slow pitch softball to hit like David Justice or Will Clark or just like not follow the rules and just crush it. Whereas righty, like
just get that undercut,
like head down, and I don't know. It's like it's a little easy. Yeah. Now I'll strike out. It's a little easy to just like crush it lefty, even though I
hit a little more righty. Free swing. Just that free swing and lefty.
May strike out.
Hey, Ken Griffey Jr., baby, sweetest swing in baseball.
That's right.
Sure.
Hey, man, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for joining us. Fun. Appreciate it.
Thanks, awesome. Guy. Good to meet you, mate. Awesome. Good luck.
Dave Nilsson forever.
That's right. That's right. Nice.
Stay warm, mate. See you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
That was good stuff, mate. I'm glad we brought up the Letterman.
Mate, I mean, that guy's life. He didn't even know what he was doing, basically. He was just enjoying himself and doing things that he loved, starting from, you know, his days as a kid, just being around the game and enjoying the game, and turned into something that just went viral. Tried to figure out what was going on, as he says. And yeah, man, I mean, it's taken him to, you know, be around all the people that he idolized, being around the game of baseball on the Letterman, and it's taken him everywhere, mate. So he's already done all right out of it.
A couple of my favorites were, number one, when Manny Ramirez said, "Oh, hey, dude, Will Omen." He's like, "Dude, he's a pitcher. Like, what are we doing here?" That was gold, man. That was good. And the other one too was the Tom Cruise story, when he's saying, "Oh yeah, Tom Cruise." That, and again, dude, I've been there, man. I've done that myself, where I've sat there and so-and-so sat in the seat. You know?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's around celebrities. He's a celebrity himself now. So in his eyes, he's just normal bloke. It likes to do impersonations and whatnot, but you know how it goes. And today's social media, mate. I mean, you get something on there, crazy. And it goes viral. All of a sudden, overnight, you're a celebrity. So good for him, and a great bloke too. You know.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's awesome. I'm gonna have to check out that book.
Very humble.
Yeah, for sure. But make sure, hit him up on Cameo. He'd be a good Cameo too, because he'd set that camera up. He'd ask him to do an impression.
Yeah. No, I could see him really.
Price, man. What's he doing?
He needs to bump up the price for sure. But some of the guys on there, I see what they're doing for the price, and I think I'll shake my head. And I think I'd definitely do a batting stance one
on Cameo. I love doing the cameos; they're a blast. I try and go over the top with them. I know you do too. But I think I'm charging like $30-something. But I'm just there going, "Hey, what's up, so and so? Good job on your fantasy football team, whatever." But he's actually performing. Like he needs to help the. Come on, he needs to up the price a little bit for sure.
Oh, that's his profession. That's what he does.
Yeah, we had him on for such a long time, so we've ran out of time. But that was an absolute blast. Make sure you check him out on social media. Make sure you follow us too on the old social media as well. We've got some big time guests coming up. By the way, I don't want to give them away. I will on social media at the Top Step Podcast coming up. I don't want to give some of these names away that we've got coming up. But a lot of good things happening. Grant, I'll let you get out of here very soon, mate. You got anything else before we wrap this thing up?
Nah, mate. I just want to thank the listeners out there. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the show today as much as I do, just learning about different people and how they get from, one destination to the next. Just interesting and just getting that inside stories that, you know, not everyone's going to get a chance to listen to. It's just, it was great.
All right, man. I'll let you get out of here. You got a big afternoon ahead of you.
All right, mate.
You're selling a boat or a condo now or something? Some big league?
Selling the lot, mate. I'm selling the lot.
Awesome, mate. All right. Well, cool. All right. We'll see you right here next week. Grant, right. See you, champion.
All right, buddy. Take care, mate. See ya.
killing them, killing them, killing them, killing them, killing them, killing them, killing them.